In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Now, this intro is such a mouthful, I messed it up. This is the fourth time now I'm reading it. I don't know why I'm doing that to myself, but it's such a pain. Wednesday at our afternoon Bible study, the reader gave up on the funny names and skipped to verse 3. You know, most of these names don't mean much to us today. We kind of know these people because of Holy Week, right? Pontius Pilate, Herod, those high priests that I can't pronounce for some reason today. But other than being a footnote to Jesus' story of the cross and resurrection, it feels skippable. And yet for Luke and his audience, it would have triggered a much different response. For this is how people kept track of time, whose thumb they were under, which empire was ruling, who had all the power and was essentially making their lives miserable. For the wars they were fighting, the laws they were enforcing, the extreme taxes they were paying, the violence inflicted upon them. This is the backdrop for the beginnings of Jesus' ministry. Empire under empire. It makes me wonder, how do you keep track of time? Maybe it's similar, especially around here. We have under the Bush administration, and then you go, which one, right? Or after 9/11, right? These markers in time. Perhaps the powers that rule over you and mark your time are more personal. When Grandpa had cancer for the second time. When Sally passed away. No matter your time marker, here are the words spoken, not from the halls of power and empire or even the temple, but way out in the boonies, out in the wilderness with the wolves and wild dogs and desert winds, we hear this voice, prepare the way. Make the path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. For all flesh shall see the salvation of God. These ancient words were first spoken by the prophet Isaiah to a people in exile. And now they're repeated by this guy, which, you know, I love a good visual image. I mean, hopefully you can see it all the way in the back. Look at him. He's a weird one. He's hairy. He eats bugs. Is this really someone we want to listen to? He had quite the reputation. His clothes were made of camel's hair, and he foraged for wild honey and bugs. That's what we know about him. And here he is, shouting by the Jordan River, saying, come, be baptized. Change your ways and be released from all that binds you. It's really odd on this second Sunday of Advent that our word that is more than a word is peace. And this is our text. This guy shouting at us from far, far away to repent and change and start a construction project. And the first lesson isn't any better. It's about being burned by fire and washed with a bunch of soap. I was hoping for this peace Sunday a more of a consider the birds, do not worry, says Jesus. Or I would even take an angelic, do not be afraid. But perhaps this John the Baptist preaching at us is indeed what God's peace means. For God is not interested in a surface level kind of peace. The Minnesota nice approach, where no one says what they're actually thinking, not to ruffle feathers or rock the boat. This is not about a peace that is absent of tension or maybe even violence. Pastor Emily Trubly Weller puts it this way: John the Baptist and other prophets call us to a more robust peace, one that brings safety and refuge and rest to the vulnerable. Peace enacts justice and requires the hard work of constructing new roads through the wilderness. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. described it well in his letter from a Birmingham jail, when he wrote that the Negro's greatest stumbling block in the stride toward freedom is not the white citizen counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice. The way to peace that John talks about, preparing this way, requires us to roll up our sleeves, pick up shovels, be direct, share what we actually think about things, and have open ears and hearts to what our neighbors think too. Peace is knowing each other's names and saying I'm sorry, and learning what it takes for those on the margins, those who aren't in this building right now. What does it take for those folks to feel included and invited? And then actually working on making it happen. Yes, it's hard. You know, it might even take a pain in the butt, 6 months wait for a fence, right? It may cause some tension. It may be painful at times. But dear church, by doing these things, we are filling in the potholes and bulldozing those mountains and building a path wide enough for strollers and walkers and wheelchairs and everyone in between, so that all may experience the salvation of God come near. In the end, it's all about love. And this may feel overwhelming, this work of peace, but remember the greater context. We are not standing alone like our bulletin cover, this little kid with a toy bulldozer at this overwhelming, huge construction site. Remember, God first does this for us. This is what the season of Advent is all about. God arriving in our midst, paving the way from that great, fantastic cosmos down to our puny humanity, putting on skin and walking with us and destroying the barrier of death in the process. For there is nothing that has or ever will separate us from the love of God. And so we too are invited into this building project, this construction project of peace, making the road a little wider for everyone else. A few weeks ago, my family traveled north, braving the Beltway and the Jersey Turnpike to visit my grandparents. I hadn't seen them in 5 years because of the pandemic. And they hadn't even met Phoebe yet, so it was time. And we stayed with my Aunt Lisa and Uncle Matt, because my cousins have 7 kids between 2 families. And so my aunt and uncle are stocked with everything kid-friendly you can imagine. They have embraced the title of grandparent with gusto. They have a pack and play. They have bumpers for the twin beds in case someone rolls out of bed, and we don't even have those at home. They have a high chair, kids' snacks, 2 outdoor play sets, bath toys, stuffies, regular toys, including some throwbacks to my childhood. Anyone remember Wishbone from that PBS show? They have one of those. They have a Thomas the Train set. And then they have other toys, these fun gems that I would never let into my house, like this microphone that echoes when you sing into it. Oh man, Phoebe loved that. They also have this dog-shaped electric guitar that would play lots of different songs, and the off button kind of stuck. So like, meow, meow. You name it, they have it. Or they'll sneak out and find it and bring it back to surprise you, which is what they did when I mentioned we were low on goldfish crackers. And we are still eating through those packs of Goldfish crackers. Because they shoved them in our car as we were attempting to leave. Point being, they have made this level highway for kids of all ages to feel welcome. Chaos is invited into every nook and cranny. And it is okay to get every single toy out, even the ones in the basement. And when the weekend is over, cleanup will happen. But in the meantime, there will be much shenanigans. And I don't think my aunt and uncle would have it any other way. This is the piece. This is the construction project that John is talking about. A wide, wide welcome where everything is fluffy and replaceable. There is nothing that can't be used or sat upon or twirled around or shaken. For there is no better peace that finds us than knowing we are completely safe, we are wholly loved, and we are welcomed as we are. So, dear ones, I wonder, where is the gift of peace tugging at you today? Can you hear John's invitation to turn around and let go of all that binds you up this morning so that God's peace may find you? Together, will you wonder with me, how can we create this wide, wide, wide highway here at Faith Lutheran? Who is missing? What supplies do we need? What barriers need to be torn down, and what valleys need to be lifted up? How can we build a level highway that all may experience the love of God without exception? Amen. Thanks be to God.